Incarnation Day. Merry Christmas, everybody. What a wonderful day for us. I asked on behalf of God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the energy and power of the Holy Spirit, that He may bless you abundantly more than you can ask or think. And I really want to encourage you with today. Please do not let the world hijack our day. This is the time of joy. It is, and presents. I know, kids, you can get a little sad with some of the presents. Don't let that steal your joy, okay, Anna? You just enjoy today. This is the day that we remember everything that the Lord has put together since before the dawn of time. So, before we go on, allow me to pray, and then we'll commence our little sermonette, my version of little. Father, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. Your word is so encouraging to us and comforting that you tell us that before the foundation of the earth, you chose us. Not separately, not randomly, but you chose us in Him, in you, Jesus. That we would be one day adopted as your sons. That you called it a predestination. However you may think of it today, doesn't matter for us, O Lord. It matters that you loved us. And the coming of your Son, Jesus, you coming and being born, taking on the form of flesh, is testimony to that great love. Spirit, I pray and I ask in the name of Jesus, strengthen the joy in the people that are here today. Strengthen them in their faith. Let them know that they are loved by the way that Jesus split dimensions and came to His own creation. Let them know they are loved by the sharing of their love with one another as we go out to have lunch and celebrate Christmas with our loved ones, with our family. But we would do so remembering the things that you have done. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. There is a mindset that says if immigrants come here, don't want to follow our ways and our laws, well, let them go back to where they came from. And some response, even if they will be killed, if they go back, then that mindset responds, as harsh as it sounds, if they don't want to abide by our laws and our ways, then let them leave and suffer the consequences. If they want to change our way of life to their way of life, then they should go back to their country where they can live how they want. If they want to have that life, well then, let them have it. Or we should deport them. Sometimes I wonder if God gets so fed up with all of us trying to change His world to our way of life and change His laws to suit our own likes, that He also then has that kind of mindset. There have been so many immigrants that have come into God's world trying to change it to suit themselves that God must be ready to do something about it. And the Bible tells us that He is. You see, a long time ago, our God said that His good world had become so corrupt and polluted with arrogance and pride and evil and evildoers that He vowed to renew it, to restore the world to purity and peace and holiness and love and goodness and joy. And the way that God would make this pure world, or this world pure and holy and good, would be to purge it, to purge it of all people that loved evil and love evil, love doing malicious acts more than they love God, and purge it of all those who don't acknowledge God as creator, as the one who is the sovereign, who of those people who won't bow down to His reign and His rule, His laws, His ways. So long ago, God spoke through a prophet. And this is what He said, "For behold, the day is coming, said the Lord, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave neither root nor branch." And it's a shocking proposition for all in the world who are arrogant and proud on this earth. The Bible calls the arrogant, the proud, anyone who says, I'm good enough, I don't need God. The Bible calls those people the proud, the arrogant. And evildoers, to do any evil in the Bible is contrary to the good of God, so contrary to God's ways that are righteous. No matter what we may think of it in our hearts, or whether we think, hey, I'm doing this with good intentions, if it's not according to God's ways and God's rules and God's ultimate decree, God deems those people that do or live like that as evildoers. He considers that himself an act against him. And so anyone that lives contrary to his word is an evildoer. So then God in his word has looked upon his world, and he says to all people who make up their own ways and live by their own rules, who don't want to abide by God's standard, whose rules, those who want to change God's ways to suit themselves, to suit their own way, God says that he's going to have this massive deportation. God will remove all the proud and all the evildoers of the world. You know, and when you think about that and think about God's word, at first that seems quite harsh. That's until you acknowledge that this world is not humanity's. This world is not your world. This world is not my world. This is God's world. It's his. He owns it. And God wants this world to be pure. He wants it to be holy. He wants it to be full of joy and goodness. He wants it to be about him, about a world that cares for each other because it cares for him. And who doesn't want a world like this? Who doesn't want a world like this? I tell you, anyone who doesn't want a world like this doesn't want God, because they don't want his righteousness. So God has said, if you don't want me, I shall give you what you want. I shall give you a life and an existence without me then. And so God has vowed in his word to purge the earth of all the arrogant and all evildoers, leaving this world with people that fear the Lord, that obey him, that revere him, that respect him and his laws. People who want him above their own selfish gains, who want to live in pure goodness and not evil, to live in his world according to his way of life. But listen to the other side of this prophecy. God said he would purge all the arrogant and the evildoers from this world. But then God also says, but for you who fear the Lord, fear my name, he says, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings, and you shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. So that's the opposite of purging the world. The world will be left with those who fear the name of God. I wonder if you can picture the world with me right now. This is a great day to be doing it. Picture this world, this incoming, it's a paradise. The sun that rises will radiate righteousness, goodness. There's a sun that comes, that rises, and it will radiate a righteousness that you're going to be able to light your way with. You're going to be able to warm yourself with the radiant holiness of God, with all his goodness. And each day will be a day of complete holiness without evil. A world, he says, where we shall only experience healing. So there's not going to be any decay. There won't be any rot, harm. There won't be any injury. There won't be any bleeding or broken bones. There won't be disease, cancer. There's going to be none of that. It's just going to be pure restoration and renewal. And it's not going to be localized either. But this righteousness in this new world that God is purging is going to be like, it said, it will be soaring all about us, as though it flew on wings over us, encompassing and renewing this earth. And the people of the world that will be living in this new purged earth and this renewed earth, they're going to be so liberated. We're going to be so elated. We're going to be feeling like we've had all our worries lifted up and resolved and taken from our minds and souls. And the people who live in this world will live loving God's ways. We'll live loving God's rule. And they're going to be doing it so much, loving God so much in this new world, that we're all going to be bolting around the world. Can you imagine living with people as though they're all like calves springing from the stall? It's like Christmas Eve with all the kids filled with sugar, just running around. That's what you're going to be like, bouncing about like playful kids. You know, you won't know what to do with yourself. You know, you won't know where to start in this new world. You'll be like a child again. In fact, you will be a child again. You'll be a living child of God without any worry in the world, quite literally no worry, no concern, because there'll be no lurking evil around, because there will be no evildoers around. And you won't have any concern. I'm only just turning 50 in a month's time, and I already can feel myself getting tired. But you won't have concern for your aging body, because you're always going to feel free, young, energetic. Can you picture it? How good will it be when the arrogant and the evildoers are deported from this world and just goodness remains? And I know that you're all thinking, like I was thinking when I'm looking at this passage, you're thinking to yourself, this will be great. I can't wait for all those arrogant and evildoers to be gone, to get rid of. If they just got deported. If they don't want to live here, if they don't want to live on this earth and the gods reign and rule, then get out. Get rid of them. But there's the drama. All of us, every human being is proud and arrogant, evil and an evildoer. And we all deserve to be purged from this earth. We all deserve to be deported by God from his world, because we all have that same common denominator in our soul that places all of us in that evildoer category, sin. We all have sin. And so God, he's going to wipe us all of us from the earth. But here's the good news. God throws us a lifeline. God says, if you end up righteous, like me, if we end up pure, if we end up good, if we end up wholesome, humble, perfect, if you end up holy and perfect, a good person, God says that he will give you life, that you may live in that new world that is renewing. And not for 80 or so years like here on this earth, but for an eternity, that God will give you eternal life on this renewed world that he's purging of all those arrogant people without evil and without evildoers. He says, I will give you eternal life on this renewed earth. That's the good news. From having God wanting to purge us all to now being offered a lifeline. God says, that is if you are righteous and good. But unlike sin that is in all of us, righteousness and goodness is in none of us. And we're back to square one. No one. No one can escape the purging of God. No one can escape God's cosmic deportation. No one can make themselves good. And none of us has any inclination on how to achieve the righteousness that God desires for his new world. And that's how God wants it. He wants you to come to his world like a foreigner, without any baggage that you're bringing from wherever you come from. He doesn't want your idea of good. He doesn't want your concept of righteousness. He doesn't care for your efforts, because he wants you to take hold of his righteousness, his goodness, to follow his ways. But you see, the world is so arrogant. The world is so full of pride because it thinks it's good enough. It can make its own way. It's already got the right way. And so in that arrogance, it tries to change God's world. The world is so proud, it thinks it doesn't need God. But we all need God. The world thinks it can work its way to this new world, but sin pollutes our doing, making all of us evil doers. So we all need God to remove our sins and give us his righteousness so as to be spared of his great deportation. And this is what Christmas is about. The birth of Jesus is the incarnation of God coming to us. It's Emmanuel, God among us. But it's not just to hang out with us. It is to restore his good world. And the way he does it is by taking evil and sin and exchanging it with his righteousness. And he's doing it by gathering a people who fear his name. Do you see, to be spared from this cosmic deportation of God, we all need God who comes to us in Jesus. And we all need Jesus if we live in this renewed world that God is restoring. So when Jesus was born, the Bible records the event as a time of great joy. And listen to how an angel declares it. He says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So on this day, when we celebrate Christmas, we remember that God came to us in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Our Savior is born. Jesus Christ has come to save you, save us. And he's saving us from that impending purging of the world. And this is why Christmas, for every one of you, of us as a church, but you individually and also hopefully as a collective, is supposed to be a good day of great joy, good news. You're supposed to be happy, joyful, remembering this great act of God. It says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Don't fear, it says. Did you hear that? Fear not. Don't fear, for in revering the Lord, you will not face deportation, but instead receive eternal welcome into his presence. It's a cosmic irony if you didn't hear it from both passages. Do not fear because you fear the Lord. This fearless reverence leads to profound joy. And that is the heart of what we celebrate today. You know, we are people of prophecy. I know some of us don't like using the word prophecy, but we are people that believe prophecy and then expel prophecy. We believe the men of old proclaimed this to us. How else would we have known about God in Jesus unless the men of prophetic men have prophesied about it? So the day of the Lord has arrived in God in Jesus. This is the joy of Christmas. Our Savior and our King has arrived. And we know this because the men of before have that have gone before Jesus have been preparing the world to receive it. It was recorded just before Jesus was born by a preacher they called John the Baptist. Listen to what he said. He was proclaimed and prophesied that he will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Listen to what he did. To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because why would God do this? Of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. See, we know about all this stuff about God and Jesus because someone spoke about it. They preached about it, they proclaimed and they prophesied about it. What we need to know is that after Jesus was born and died, he is yet to fully complete his work because Jesus will come again. Christmas Day is a reminder that God in Jesus came, but that he will return again. So today, let's remind each other. Remind each other as we wait his return. Let's continue, all of us, to prepare the way of the Lord. To prepare the way for his return. According to that passage that I'm reading, listen to how to do it. Like John the Baptist, it says, to give knowledge, tell of the knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. That's why Jesus came. Christmas is the arrival of Jesus who shall save his people by forgiving our sins, purging our evil. He purges our evil so that we may not be purged from the earth. And not because we earned it, rather because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. The birth of Jesus is the merciful rising Son of righteousness who will then give light. Tell people he will give you light. If they're sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, Jesus can guide our feet to the way of peace. So Jesus was born so that sinners would follow him to peace, to God, with God, to a place on this restored world and safe from God's just deportation of all foreigners who would not bow down to the ways of God. Let's celebrate Christmas. Do not let the world hijack our day. This is our day of celebration and joy. I can't stop grinning because I keep reminding myself that I should be purged from this world. I am a proud evildoer. And God comes in his tender mercy and says, you, listen, follow me. And his righteousness shines on me. This is a great day of good news and joy. Celebrate Christmas as the arrival of God in Jesus that has spared us from the purging of the world to save us from cosmic deportation by coming to forgive our sins and give us his righteousness. And so this is our day of jubilation. It is a day of good news and great joy. And I'm going to keep repeating that. It is a day of good news and great joy. Jesus was born. God has come to us in him. And so therefore, Christmas is also a reminder. Jesus shall return. And we shall be with him, leaping like calves, bouncing around like little kids. And this is how we should live even now, waiting for his return. Allow me to pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for bringing and showing us the tender mercy of God that we, as proud, the arrogant, as those who want to follow our own ways, change your world to suit our own likes, bring our own laws to your world, that you would, oh Lord, save us, that you would come here when all we deserve is purging and to be deported from your world. And there is the good news. Arouse this joy in us as we think about your great work today. It is Christmas, Lord, your day and our day. Remind your people of such and bless them mightily today and forevermore. To your greater glory, Jesus, in your name I pray this. Amen.